Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and even though this is a relatively quiet month in Puttaparthi because all the students have gone home for their vacation, the devotees are very few now, the temperatures are soaring in the temple town, but there are amazing repercussions now of what happened in Prashantinilayam many, many months ago. It is really fantastic how an event that happened almost 1.5 years ago on the evening of November 23rd, 2015 suddenly has caught the attention of millions, and most of these are not Sai devotees. They are just music lovers. They are just people who love music, and who is not a music lover today? So what I am referring to is the Grand Sai Symphony. Yes, the grand finale of the 90th birthday that happened in the sacred presence of Sai Kulwanthal on the evening of Bhagwan's 90th birthday. And it was such a masterpiece of performance, something Prashantinilayam had never seen before. And now it looks like it is something even the whole world had never seen before. Recently, a small clip of this performance went viral on social media and had nearly 14 million views. This was just a small piece from the 90-minute spectacularly spellbinding offering in a Sai Kulwanthal on the 90th birthday evening. And this was the clip of the Jugalbandi, or the percussion dialogue, that was between Guru Karaikudi Mani Sir and Pap Samori Sek from Senegal, the djembe player. Here is just a clip of that. That was Guru Karaikudi Mani and Samori Sek from Senegal during Bhagwan's 90th birthday celebrations, November 23rd, 2015 evening. And the reason we are talking about the Sai Symphony today on May 25th, 2017 is not because this video has gone viral. Well, that is one aspect of it. But we are talking about it today because this entire effort of Sai Symphony has today cascaded into something absolutely unprecedented. The Sai Symphony, which was composed to celebrate Bhagwan's 90th birthday, is now being performed in Germany just a few days from today on May 28th, 2017. And this will be in Uppertal, a city in the North Rhine-Westphalian province of Germany. In fact, this is the greenest city of Germany, with two-thirds of the total municipal area of Uppertal covered with greenery. So this is the green serene town, and it is going to bask, soak itself in Sai bliss. More than 100 musicians from nearly 16 countries are again going to sing the glory of Sai in this beautiful town in Europe. Interestingly, Mike Hurting, the composer of the Sai Symphony, who was really handpicked by Bhagwan to undertake this glorious project, also is from Germany. The conductor of this symphony, Michael Kohler, is also a German. So Germany came to offer their love to Bhagwan, to Prashant Nilayam's 90th birthday, and now Bhagwan is going to Germany to fill the hearts of people there with love, with beauty, with harmony, with symphony. And what is significant to note is that this is happening not because the Sai Symphony musicians wanted it to happen there, not because Mike Hurting or Michael Kohler pushed for it there. It is happening because the Wuppertal Symphony Orchestra on their own invited the Sai Symphony because of the sheer quality, beauty and the nobility of this work. And it is really a matter of great pride, such a powerful, prestigious, humbling moment for all of us in the Sai family. The world is waking up to the message of love all, serve all, which is indeed the central theme of this orchestra. Is what the orchestra is all about, and maybe this is the right time to go down the memory lane and actually marvel at the way Swami orchestrated this entire effort. I had the chance to speak to Mr. V. Srinivasan, the former All India President of Satya Sai Seva Organizations, who initiated this entire endeavor. So that is what we are going to do today in this final segment of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, our segment on every Thursday, and today we have the story of the Sai Symphony, the story of how Sai Symphony today is having its tryst in Germany. And you're going to listen to this story from someone who initiated, who started this entire effort, Mr. V. Srinivasan, the former All India President of Satya Sai Organization and also a former trustee of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. So here is the story of Sai Symphony directly from him.
The genesis is really here in Sundaram. I was here for a bhajan. I think it was July of 2014, sitting in the bhajan. And suddenly, out of nowhere, a flash came to me that we have to compose a symphony on Swami, and it should be called the Sai Symphony. For a second I was not sure whether this was just some random thought or, but seemed to be fairly strong transmission which was coming to me. And also it was clear that it has to be on the life of Swami. And that there should be five movements.
Oh, that also came?
Yes.
Wow.
And each movement would represent approximately 16 years of Swami's life. So I'm sitting there and I'm wondering, this bhajan is going on. And it's the evening bhajan. Must have been a Thursday or a Sunday, I don't remember. When this thought came into my mind. And I'm wondering, why is it coming to me? I'm not a musician. I like to listen to good music, whether it's light, classical, Indian, Western. And of course, I have a fondness for Western symphonic music. But I'm by no means supposed to be a real aficionado of Western music. So I was a bit in a sort of a confused state. So I was wondering how, I had no context in the world of music. Yes, I did know one or two of the artists, etc. So then what I did was to talk to Mandolin Srinivas, because he was somebody I knew well. And when I talked to him on the phone, he said, "Sir, nobody has ever thought of this. I'm coming straight away to your house."
Oh, wow.
So he came along with his brother, Rajesh, and I told him, "See, this is what the thoughts have come to me. How do I proceed?" See, in a symphony, somebody has to compose the music.
Correct.
Somebody has to perform the music. Somebody has to direct the performance. Then come all these questions of logistics of these performances. So Srinivas said, "Sir, I will contact one composer from Finland who has whom I know." So he contacted him and he wanted some details. So I was in touch with that composer by email. And he said, "Yes, I think I would like to do it." So I was happy on this.
Was he new to Swami?
Absolutely. Amen. So I was saying, "Oh, at least one portion is taken care of." But after a month, he came back to me and said, "I think this is a very gigantic undertaking. I don't think I can do justice to this. So I'm sorry, I'm not able to take him." So I felt again a bit run down, I'm let down. Then Srinivas suggested this Mr. Herting's name.
Okay.
And he also had never any experience of Swami or, and he did not know who he was and all that. But when Srinivas talked to him and I got in touch with him, he listened. And within a week he came back and said that he would do it.
Wow.
So that was a, at least the initial portion was set up. And then he and I interacted quite a bit. Even though I was not a musician, I was able to, by Swami's grace, give him some instructions on some directions he sought on the question of the movements. He also agreed. Then he said he wanted to come to Puttaparthi. So he came to Puttaparthi. I think he stayed there for almost 10 days. And then went to all the important places. He went to Amlapuram.
Oh, Kamalapuram.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He went to Swami's birthplace. He went to the school.
So he went to Uruvakunda also?
Yeah, all these places he went.
Wow.
To get exposure. And then I had arranged for him to meet with some of the old devotees. And of those people, the person he gelled with very well was Raman Rao.
Oh, that's interesting.
And Raman Rao and he had long conversations. Mm-hmm. Because he wanted to understand the early years mm-hmm. of Swami. And Raman Rao and Puttaparthi interacted with him quite a bit and gave him a lot of background and ideas of Swami, his avatar, and what Swami has done, what Swami has come for. So this gave him the sort of preparatory background before he starts composing. So this is the, he came totally before the symphony was ready. I think he came to India 3 or maybe 4 times
mm-hmm.
and interacted twice or three times he came to Puttaparthi, and then he started meeting the artists. So that time I brought our Shravan also into the loop to help him to look at the mechanics of symphonic construction and also for interacting with the artists and to talk the language of music as such. And surprisingly, see, in this whole Sai Symphony effort, I mean, you have said that in so many things people felt that they were not the doer. Mm-hmm. Swami was doing. I could make clearly that Swami did the whole thing. I was only making some motions and mm-hmm. Swami opened all the doors. Doors which we felt would never be opened. And all the artists whom I spoke readily agreed to participate. Because it was going to be an integration of Indian classical music with Western symphonic music, but in an absolutely novel way mm-hmm. on that. The Sai Symphony, for the first time, Indian music, you know, is not never written down.
Yes.
In the case of the Sai Symphony, the rhythmic portions have been notated.
Yes.
For the first time in the history of music, which helps the Western musical performers and the conductor to seamlessly integrate the Indian and Western parts. And as you would have seen when it was performed, there was never any gap.
Yes.
They seemed to know when to play, what to play, and how one melds with the other. So he met all these people like Sudha Raghunathan, he met Shashank, Ganesh Kumaresh, and Debashish Bhattacharya. All these people, he interacted with them. Of course, one does not understand the sankalpa of divinity, because the person who helped me to get this started was Mandolin Srinivas. But suddenly he passed away. I was shattered at this, as I was wondering, because he was totally body and soul committed to the Sai Symphony on that. And hurting new Srinivas. And he was looking forward for his involvement much more than anybody else. So he was very, very upset when Srinivas left us then. In fact, he told me that Srinivas has sent him, prior to his death, some musical compositions which have never been played before.
Oh, wow.
And he is looking forward to perform those also sometime here in India on that. So all these artists started to interact. Now I had to look for the performers. And for that I came in contact with, you know, previously there have been some symphonies which have been performed in front of Bhagwan, which had the Western musicians.
Yes.
And Dr. Michael Kohler, who is a devotee, unlike Hurting, Michael Kohler is a devotee of Bhagwan. So he readily agreed. And they both live very close to each other. This Hurting lives in Cologne, and Kohler lives nearby, not too far. So he readily agreed to conduct the orchestra. Then I spoke to Narendranath Reddy. I said, look, I want to be in touch with the musicians which have been performing before. And I got in touch with our Italian person,
Umberto
Frascati.
Frascati.
And he is a devotee, both he and his wife are devotees, and he immediately agreed to do all that he can. And he started contacting performers, both those who had come before and those who were new on this. And this was a great, you know, no artist was going to be paid. All that we were going to do was to bear their travel costs and to get diverse artists from different countries and have them come to Puttaparthi. And for them, many of them, it was their first visit to India. And for many of them, it was going to be a totally different experience to be at an ashram like Puttaparthi.
Thank you.
Well, to cut a long story short, we got artists from, I think we had 16 countries.
Yes.
Represented all over Europe, China, Japan, Singapore. And this was going to be unique that Herting was going to prepare the modules and send it to everybody by email.
Mm-hmm.
So there was never going to be a rehearsal elsewhere before they finally all assembled at Puttaparthi. And as you would have known, they were there about 10 days in advance.
Yes.
And those periods were intensive rehearsals with not very satisfactory facilities. You know, they used to rehearse on top of the double-decker shed.
Yes, yes.
On that. And sound systems and all were not always that kind of quality which is required for a professional performance. And finally we had then the question of the choir.
Yeah.
Then I had to, again Swami only opened those doors, talk to the Vice Chancellor, then get his agreement, then I spoke to the Anantapur campus director. Yeah. And finally they agreed.
Mm.
That Swami's students from Puttaparthi and then the lady students from Anantapur, yes, they would send their choir. But they had to be trained in singing choir music.
Yes.
See, they all know Indian music.
Correct.
They are good bhajan singers. Some of them knew classical music. But the way the notes are pronounced in Western music is totally different from this. So whatever you may be as an Indian professional, you needed to be trained to sing this kind of choir music. Luckily, Shravan located one girl here who is a qualified Trinity College instructress, and she expressed that she would be willing to do this. So she spent a lot of time in Anantapur interacting with the girls. And she also instructed our boys at Prashanthi Nilayam, and she was quite a tough taskmaster.
Yes.
Making them to do what they are. Came the question of the professional sound systems.
Yes.
So we had to get this done of a high professional quality to be able to produce the kind of sound.
Yes.
Of high fidelity. So I got in touch through Shravan and others, the leading people who do all these big shows.
Yeah.
In Delhi and Bombay. And finally, it cost a lot of money, but I'm sure they did it at a fairly concessional cost for us. And we zeroed in on one, and they agreed to be present at Puttaparthi for setting up the professional sound system. So this went on, and then, as you correctly stated, there was this ambiguity, whether it was going to be in the ashram or whether it was going to be in the stadium. There were different opinions and we finally got both venues ready.
Hmm.
And made a lot of effort and a lot of physical infrastructure was created at the stadium for the performance of the symphony. But I think Swami gave his command that it rained like hell on that day and washed out all that we had done in the stadium.
Hmm.
So finally we decided to do it in the ashram.
Yes.
And that also was with rain showers taking place. Now the beauty of this and the miracle really is that Dr. Kohler was really not satisfied with all the rehearsals that we had done.
Uh-huh.
And I had seen him getting angry with many of the performers and with the sound system and all that. So all of us, were wondering what kind of final product is going to come out on the 23rd of November 2015, the 90th birthday.
More than a year of effort.
Yes, more than a year.
Mm.
And to cap it all, we still had the leaking roofs and drops, and these people were worried about their instruments, whether water will go inside them and all that. But actually, lo and behold, what came out of that performance was unbelievable, you know?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Even though no rehearsal produced that kind of end result. Youngsters, you know, I don't know, you must have seen several of those musicians who had come there for the first time. They came to me and said, "Sir, can I go for Suprabhatam? Can I go for Nagar Sankirtan?"
Oh, wow.
So these are foreign students from Italy, musicians from Italy, Bulgaria and all these places who had no awareness of Swami but wanted to be part of that.
Mm.
And many of them said that they are going to come back, not as musicians, but as devotees. And I'm sure several of them have been back without our being aware of it.
Yeah, possibly.
All that.
Yes.
And later, we had already taken a decision that we would perform this in Delhi also. So it was performed in the Indira Gandhi Indoor Stadium. And a lot of dignitaries were there. Several union ministers and all the diplomatic community. So it was an outstanding performance in Delhi also.
Yes.
So again, you know, the logistics of booking so many tickets from Italy and other one central point in Europe. All people have to congregate, coming to India, making sure that all their musical instruments are carried properly. Several airlines refused to carry.
Oh.
And they won't guarantee the safety of the
instruments.
And finally we got that agreed to. And in India also, for them to travel from Bangalore to Delhi and to get enough number of seats so that they reach in time. In fact, some of them wanted to go to Hyderabad. So we moved them by bus to Hyderabad, where they spent a day and then caught the flight from Hyderabad to Delhi. And our Delhi organization had, again Swami's grace, that a brand new hotel had opened up near the airport called the Lemon Tree Hotel. And they gave them preferential rates and everybody was accommodated there. And I also stayed there during those periods. So all of them had a wonderful experience in Delhi also.
So till now you were listening to Mr. V. Srinivasan, the former All India President of Satya Sai Organization, sharing with us the story of the Sai Symphony. After the performance of the symphony in Delhi on November 28, 2015, I had the opportunity to speak to Mr. Jatinder Cheema, who is the State President of the Satya Sai Organization's Delhi, who spearheaded this entire effort there, who worked hard with his team to replicate this magic in the capital of India. And here is what he observed after the event.
So if you see the series of birthday celebrations that we've had since January 2015, insofar as Delhi is concerned, we have put our best foot forward to spread the message of love all, serve all amongst the communities in Delhi.
And you see today the symphony ended with the melodic call of love all, serve all.
Correct, 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 correct. I think it's very relevant also. Sometimes Baba knows what is the right time for right things. For it to be happening in Delhi, it could happen anywhere, right? It happened at Puttaparthi, which was witnessed worldwide. Then it came to the nation's capital, the seat of government. And the way I see it is that, look at what is happening around us in the world. Look at Mali, look at Brussels, look at Paris, look at in the Middle East, Syria for that matter. I think the Global Sai Symphony, in a way, is an answer to some of these questions that are perplexing both the politicians, thinkers, opinion makers, that as Mahatma Gandhi said, an eye for an eye will turn the whole world blind. There is a third solution to this whole thing, and I think that is what the world thinkers, world politicians, world leaders have to think about. That, well, you deal with this not with a bullet, but also bring the third dimension to their thinking and perpetuate the thought process of love all and serve all. Because if you really ask me, if you went to serve a Muslim in Syria, okay, and if you went to serve a Christian in Paris, would you first ask him that, are you a Christian, before giving him bread? If you went to Syria and somebody was hungry on the street, would you ask that gentleman, what is your religion? The answer is no. And I think that's the real panacea that Baba has given in terms of his message. The service element, see, love in on its own is very inert. The shakti to that love is through service. And I think that's very, very important. And that's what will turn the whole world around, as you heard me earlier during the concert, that this is a new dawn, this is not an end. So in some way people may think this is a culmination of 90th birthday celebration. Yes, it's a culmination in some way, but tomorrow is a new dawn, right? We start our work in the next 10 years. What are we going to do for taking his message, which is very, very relevant to our times in which we are presently are. So hence I think it's very important that we understand the relevance of that message in the prevailing circumstances around us. We should watch what is happening around us. And it's important that we doubly make sure that our message goes multifold. You know, it is not lost somewhere. And I think the performers, the organization, all our brothers and sisters who have put together this program have put in tremendous effort at least to stir. You know, I met somebody from the media just outside who organizes media, and he was telling me that he thought like any other day he would leave after 45 minutes. He says, I couldn't leave my seat. I've been sitting here for 3 hours. And so were other media people who came to cover this event. They all come, they take a few photographs, they take one or two interviews, and then they leave, you know, because... That's their job. So he was telling me all the people that he had invited, they were all sitting comfortably in their seats and none of them said they wanted to go. Because I think all of these people also have an important role to play. You know, while we are doing all this, the media, the government, the politicians, the community leaders, the religious leaders, I think it has to be a huge momentum that has to be built through number of sort of avenues to really spread what the symphony has really represented today.
So that was Mr. Jatinder Cheema, the State President of Satya Sai Seva Organizations, Delhi. Let's go back to Mr. V. Srinivasan to listen to his final thoughts on this endeavor. This was perhaps the last major project which V. Srinivasan sir executed before he stepped down from the position of being the All India President of Satya Sai Organizations. And this is something which has filled him with so much of happiness, so much of satisfaction and fulfillment. Let's hear it from him.
But from what Umberto Frascati tells me is that many of them are expressed an interest to come together again to perform a symphony. And Herting was here and he was telling that I'm going to do this symphony for the 100th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And I told Shravan, you have to be involved in this. I don't know if I'm going to be around. But, and this I gave to, again, the thought came to me from Swami that this symphony will be a symphony of hope.
Yes.
Hope for mankind.
Yes.
Because Swami offers the only hope for the future of mankind. So the symphony is going to be structured around that concept of hope for humanity.
Wow.
So that's the story of the Sai Symphony.
Like for someone like Herting, who didn't know anything about Bhagwan, to come up with something which so musically, so powerfully depicted his life.
Absolutely.
That's a miracle by itself.
And I keep on telling him that you haven't done this.
Yes.
Swami has done this. You have been fortunate to be selected as instrument. And he has said frankly that his whole life has been transformed.
Yeah.
He doesn't call himself a devotee yet.
Yes.
But he says, ever since I started to do this, My life has been transformed. And he himself now has come forward to do this symphony of hope for the 100th birthday.
Wow.
On there. Amazing. You will see it, you will hear it.
It's Om's grace, yes. In fact, so many of the other musicians that I spoke to, especially the African drummer, Papu, who had come somewhere, he said, I asked him, how do you feel Bhagwan? You know, first time you have come, you know, what is your impression of Bhagwan? And he said, for me, when all the students were singing, it was like Bhagwan who was singing. He said the harmony that was there in the chorus, and when he was looking at all the student community, he felt that was for him, it was Swami's power which was pulsating. Different people had such varied experience, and having an African drummer, having a singer from the desert.
From Mauritania.
Yeah, Mauritania.
You know, to come from Mauritania to Chennai, first of all, we don't have an embassy in Mauritania.
Hmm.
He had to get a visa from Mali.
Oh.
And I was very doubtful whether the visa is going to come, especially from a Muslim country there, with all the problems which are arising in that area. And when you investigated connections, the way for him to go from was to go to Senegal. From Senegal, he has to go to Casablanca.
Oh.
From Casablanca, he has to come to Dubai. And from Dubai, he has to fly to Bangalore.
Oh my God.
And we managed to book him like that. And he didn't miss a single connection.
Yeah, and that he was not speaking any
language. Yes, and this guy lands up there.
That's a miracle. Because in Parthi, he didn't know any language.
Yes, and he had to come in the Bangalore airport when he was received. We couldn't believe that this is really, he managed it.
Oh my God.
It's all the clear indication when Swami Sankalpa is there, everything works out well.
Even Karikodi Mani sir was saying that they didn't really practice with him much, because even the performance is about to start and he was nowhere there.
Yeah.
He just landed and he just did whatever.
The whole audience was a sellout.
Yeah.
The way they reacted, responded to
that. Because it brought in that flavor which Bhagwan always talks about as the only language of love. And the only
language of the heart.
And the religion of love, I think that was. And the most powerful message of Bhagwan, love all, serve all, coming out, booming on Swami's 90th birthday.
So we have something, it was unique to see so many people from so many countries performing together on a stage.
Yes.
And you know, to have 123 musicians is not common, even on a professional performance abroad. People were totally amazed. In fact, I met that Finnish composer in Chennai one day.
Okay, wow.
He had come down here for some performance which I attended. And when I introduced myself and told him up, he said, yes, I've heard that it was something unique. And I want to congratulate Mr. Herting for doing something like this in such a short time on that. And he was really very much, perhaps he was feeling why he didn't do it on that. But I think Herting was selected by Swami.
Because when you see Herting's life also, he was someone who was all the time trying to bring harmony and integrate cultures through his whatever organization he had set up.
See, other thing is that Herting's most involvement is in jazz. And big band music. It was not so much in symphonic music.
Yes.
But for such a person to be able to do this kind of classical music is only the grace of God.
Yes, absolutely. When I asked him, what is your most challenging moment and the most thrilling moment, he said, the most challenging moment was that half an hour when I had to say, when this task was given to me, and, you know, I said yes. And that was the most thrilling moment. Everything else changed in life after that. Wonderful, sir.
Good. So I've told you all I know about Sai Symphony.
Yeah. Thank you so much,
and
sir.
And now all of you should look forward to the Symphony of Hope.
Definitely, sir. Well, so that was Mr. V. Srinivasan, the former All India President of Satya Sai Organizations. And, well, no one knows what Swami has in store for us for his 100th birthday, but what we definitely know that it is going to be at least 10 times more thrilling, more spellbinding and more phantasmagoric than anything that we have ever seen before. But for now, the big moment is that the Sai Symphony is going to Germany, and who knows what will cascade from there. One of the persons who worked very closely with Mr. V. Srinivasan to make the symphony happen is the Oscar-famed sound engineer cum artist, Sai Shravanam, the founder of Resound India, the music studio in Chennai, which has produced music for Academy Award-winning film Life of Pi and the Indian soundscape for the Hollywood production The Man Who Knew Infinity, a biopic on the life of Indian mathematical genius Srinivas Ramanujam. Sai Shravanam is one of those who is not only tremendously gifted with exceptional sound and music abilities, but most importantly, tremendously gifted with divine proximity. For him, Sai is the center of everything he does. And now, Sai Symphony going to Germany is nothing short of a mega miracle of Sai. Let's listen to his joy, his excitement about the Sai Symphony.
And the greatest thing that's happening is a professional orchestra in London, in Wuppertal, Germany, has agreed to perform this.
Wow. Amazing.
They like the music. They've accepted it. The whole idea of so many cultures coming and performing with symphony is starting to appeal to the world.
Wow.
Bach, Mozart, and Sai Symphony. Think of it. We don't know what's going to happen. But all I know is, for me personally, nothing in my life has happened without his hands on me. Even in Sai Symphony, the multiple role, why sound in the symphony, getting it amplified, we did not have engineers who could understand sound. We did not have equipments. Getting a balance between 100 instruments and a few solo is not easy. Even that was like, okay, Shravanam, take care. I tell you, if I try to do this in any commercial thing, I don't know how successful I'll be. But when it was his work, it was he who did it. It all just happened. And when I think how it happened, all I can do is to just prostrate in front of Bhagwan and say, no, my eyes become so moist. And you've not learned music. You don't know. I've not learned sound. I've not been trained. And then Swami puts in a place where I have to do all of this in something that happens of the highest cadre. I'm nowhere there actually. I don't know. It's just him probably who's doing it. And how it happened, I cannot explain. You asked me to touch the faders. I don't know. It just came. It happened. Asked me to play the tabla. How I played with Karekudi Mani? I don't know. You think I'll go to music academy, sit with him? I can't play a note. But there, I played. I was smiling. When I saw the video, I was smiling.
Yeah.
So was it me? I was all the time smiling.
When I was seeing the video, I thought, I mean, is this the same Shravanam? Because I have seen you, I don't think you have slept in the last so many months. You were all
six
the
months,
time...
7 months, no sleep. Yeah.
But there when you're praying, you're playing, you're as fresh...
I was praying, actually.
Yeah, you're praying.
Yeah, my fingers were praying.
Yeah. But you're fresh and you're so much energy. I mean, it was just not you.
Ah, that's what I'm telling. It was simply not me. I was very sick the previous day. That's what I'm saying, no? When Swami decides to do something, it was not Manisar also. It was not Amrit also.
Yeah.
It was nobody. Why me? It was nobody.
I think that is the reason why they came together also. Because each person, they forgot about what they are in their professional life or, you know, their stature. Like Manisar, he said, you know, he's doing it only for Swami. That's it. And I think that was the feeling which blended everything ultimately.
Wow.
I know we are still only perhaps scratched the surface because, I mean, over 1.5 years, I think every day was an experience for you, being part of it. And definitely something which perhaps has changed your life also in ways.
In fact, for the Wuppertal concert, because of budget and constraints, we had to drop musicians. So percussion team, we had to drop somebody. Melody section, we had to drop somebody because we had a very, very... Mike had a very, very tight budget. So the best thing I could do was to say, you know, the professionals must go, so I'm not participating. I told Mani, sir. Sir, I think from the percussion side, I'll drop by. And the kind of look he gave me. And then Koila from Germany wrote to me saying, in capital, I hope you're coming. No. So those are small things that made me feel that, okay, probably my act has to continue with more devotion to Bhagwan.
Mm.
And whatever little I could, I'll continue to do, and he will do it through me. That's all.
So that was Sai Shravanam, accomplished sound engineer, who is one of the organizers as well as the tablist for the Sai Symphony Orchestra. Sai Shravanam has plenty of stories about how the symphony happened in Prashantilayam for the first time in November 2015. He knows it like nobody else because he was in it through and through, almost right from the start. When you listen to this symphony, after listening to Shravanam's story of how it crystallized, how it took shape, the joy with which you hear the symphony will only multiply 100-fold. And this is what we are going to do in the coming episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Dear listeners, so spread the word about Sai Symphony's tryst with Germany, May 28, 2017 in Wuppertal. We at Radio Sai have been working to cover this event, so perhaps in the future episodes we will be able to offer you some sound bites from Germany. But in the next episodes you will hear more about how the Sai Symphony took shape and how at every step it was Sai spearheading this magnificent show. So that is coming up in the next episodes. Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us for this episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside and all the programs on this beautiful Thursday. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. If you have any queries, comments, suggestions, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan. And at the same time, thank each one of you, dear listeners, for being with us on this beautiful journey to Sai, with Sai, to experience the joy of living in Sai. Thank you so much. Sai. Thank you.